We're reading in our Bibles this morning from the third chapter of Peter's first epistle. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. I was praying for a text for our Mother's Day sermon today and was reminded of a verse in this chapter that speaks about Sarah and her daughters. I think we have many daughters of Sarah here this morning, many mothers who would count themselves among that holy number. Let's seek the Lord. Will you pray with me if you pray in your hearts? Heavenly Father, we don't want to take for granted the privileges that are ours. Privileges, the privilege, Lord, of having for many of us a godly mother, mother that knew the Lord and loved His Word, set out, did her best, Lord, to be a good example for us. And we thank You so much for that, Lord. We have the privilege of gathering this morning with perfect freedom, without fear of persecution or oppression, gathering this morning in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. We have the privilege, Lord, the blessing of opening the Holy Scriptures, having a copy of the Bible, each one of us for ourselves, the right to read it in private or in public, to learn its truths, to memorize the verses. Oh, Lord, Your ways and Your thoughts are so much higher than ours. We tremble with reverence and godly fear before the Lord when we think that we have the very words of God in print, in a Bible before us. Lord, we confess that we're not worthy to take up Your words in our lips, the pastor nor the people, and yet You've lovingly given them to us to read and believe and follow. So now, Lord, as we approach the Holy Scriptures, we recognize, Lord, that there is no assembly of Christians, there's no church anywhere in the world that needs You more than we need You, Lord. Surely we could say with the Apostle Paul that we're less than the least. And so with this spirit, with this in mind, we want to come before You, Lord, pleading Your blessing. We're thankful, Lord, that You never turn us away. You always have food on the table for us, for the body and for the heart. And so now we seek Your guidance and direction. Help us to deal truly with the Scriptures, receiving and giving it, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. From 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I always feel that this is one of the sweetest days of the year, one of the days we enjoy the most, when we have the privilege of showing honor and appreciation and love, gratitude to our mothers. My wife and I both have mothers that have been promoted to heaven. And though I would love to ring my mother up today and tell her how much I love her and thank her for her example and the blessing she's been to me, I haven't that privilege. I hope I do when I get to heaven, have the opportunity to tell her how much she meant to me. If you have not yet contacted your mother today to tell her that you love her and thank her for her influence in your life, can I encourage you to do that? If she is still living, see if you can let her know how much she means to you. So as I was praying for a text this morning, the Lord reminded me of chapter 3, verse 6. Read this verse again with me if you have your Bibles open there. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. Sarah's daughters. The reference here is not to physical offspring. It's not that Sarah is the physical mother by genealogy, by lineage, but that she is the role model. She is the example for godly mothers. She, her example, her being a role model to mothers down through the centuries is what the Lord is calling to our attention here. And I want you to take note of this because Galatians chapter 3 verse 7 says that everyone who knows Christ because of Abraham's example as a believer in the Old Testament, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 3, I'll just read it to you, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those of us that have hope in God because of faith in Christ, the same are the seed of Abraham. Abraham's a role model to us in his trust in God. Chapter 3, verse 29 in Galatians says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So as I look back in history, one of the people that is an example to me, a father of my faith, who is a role model to me, was Abraham. And that's true of every believer. And then in verse number 6, it indicates here that every mother could look back to Sarah and could say, Sarah is an example to me, Abraham's wife. Sarah is an example to me. Sarah is a role model to me. And that's what the Holy Spirit has recorded through the pen of the Apostle Peter. So these verses teach us some very important things. I want you to look with me, please, from verses 1 and 2 to begin with in this chapter. These verses speak to us about the amazing influence of a godly mother. The amazing influence of a godly mother. All of us, I think, probably are aware. I hope you're aware. Little boys and little girls may not know this yet. But our parents do a molding and shaping work in our lives. And so much of what we think, so much of what we feel, so much of what we believe are the result of our parents' formative influence in our lives. They're a role model to us. And it's not always the best role model. We recognize that. We're not saying that our parents were perfect any more than their offspring are perfect. But we need to recognize that there is a great formative influence and that much of what we think is the result of our parents' influence. The amazing influence of a godly mother. Look in verse 1, for instance. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Words are important. Scripture tells us that words are very important. But even more important than our words, mothers, more important than your words as an influence in your family, as an influence on your husband. Possibly there are some married women here, mothers this morning, who are married to someone who doesn't know Christ. It happens all the time. We probably all know people that way. If that's not your situation, then you know someone whose husband does not yet know the Lord. And the Lord says here that there is a powerful influence by the testimony, by the conduct. The word conversation in verses 1 and 2 not only includes the words that are spoken, but they're the attitudes, the manners, the grace, the spirit of the person, so that the wife has an amazing, amazing influence on her husband. I was looking up the word conversation this week, and in the dictionary it says that it includes conduct, behavior, manner, grace. I always think about Susan's mother, my wife's mother, Moselle. Moselle was actually her middle name, wasn't it? Her full name was Tonita Moselle Tony. And Moselle, we always called her, that was the name we called her by, or at least I think I called her Mom. But she had such an influence on me. I really believe that possibly the greatest influence that was brought to bear on this rebellious teenager when Susan and I first started going out together was Susan's mother's testimony. Her conversation. I don't remember that she ever preached the gospel to me. I don't remember that she ever told me that I was a lost little rat bag and I needed to be saved. She would have been exactly right. But what she did do was she demonstrated in front of me what godliness was. And she showed me Christian character. And I came out of conviction because of Susan's mother's testimony. So I believe she plowed the ground and sowed the seed so that when I left home, there was a Sunday school teacher by the name of Woody Stewart who taught the college and career age class in a church, that Woody Stewart could harvest the crop that Susan's mother sowed. And that's how I came to know the Lord. The great influence, the amazing influence of a godly mother. And I'm so blessed, so thankful for her words and her deeds and her attitudes and her manners and her sweetness of spirit. And then when we come to the third and fourth verses, we see here the wisdom of the godly mother. The wisdom of the godly mother. First, the influence that because of their testimony, many come to know the Lord. Husbands, children, grandchildren. But then second, we notice the wisdom of the godly mother. Look in verse 3 and 4, where it speaks about their adorning. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The wisdom of the godly mother. She knows the nature of true beauty. The godly mother knows what is true beauty. She knows the difference between the superficial and the actual. She knows that true beauty has to do with the adorning of the heart, the lasting adornment. This word adorning that appears here in verse 3, and then let's see, I think that's the only place, two times in verse number 3, that word adorning is the word cosmos in the Greek New Testament, and it's the word that describes order and arrangement. It has to do with the wife, it has to do with that which pertains to beauty. It has to do with improving the aspect, the prospect. In the 1600s, this word began to be used in the English language to mean skilled in adornment and arrangement. It has to do with order and ornament. It has to do with the art of beautifying, anointing, decorating the body. And so the godly mother looks at two kinds of beauty. She looks at the outside, and she looks at the inside. And when she looks at the outside, she says, well, of course, it makes so much sense for a woman to plait her hair, to wear gold, to put on nice clothing. Sometimes when this is preached on, I get the impression that some preachers are saying that none of these should be done. But if that were the case, then ladies wouldn't be able to wear clothes because it says putting on apparel, and it doesn't say that. It's just saying here that the focus is not on the outward, But it talks here to us about plaiting the hair. When I was studying up on this, I found that it was common in Bible times and the old world before the time of Christ and after for women not only to have long hair, but oftentimes it reached to the floor. And when they wanted to decorate themselves up beautiful, they would have their hair combed out, and then they would have it plaited, and sometimes it was on top of their head, and in with it were often strands of gold. There was all sorts of decoration done, and then they would put on gold jewelry. It could be rings and necklaces and bracelets, ornaments of all sorts. And when they did this, then they would wear the fanciest dresses possible. Does that sound ordinary? Does that sound a possibility? All the girls said, yes. Is that right? Not all the girls. Some of the girls said, cowboy boots. That's what girls say. This is the Tablelands. We've got to recognize that. So the godly mother understands that the focus, the interest of her heart, is not primarily on what's on the outside. All of us husbands would be united, we would say amen, in saying we do not want you to shop at frumpy.com, right? All of us husbands would agree. We don't want you looking like something that wandered out of the dump or the tip. We don't want that. We're saying that. But the godly mother is saying that the focus and the emphasis is in verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. I've got to tell you that hair does not always stay beautiful. Did you know that? Did you ladies know that hair does not always stay beautiful? When I was a little boy, we had a neighbor that lived behind us. Little girl about our age. And she used to take a nap in the afternoon with her mother. And she didn't know why her mother always wore a scarf. But one afternoon when she was napping with her mother, she woke up and her mother's scarf had fallen off. And she realized that her mother was bald. And she totally freaked out. She just completely lost it, the little girl did. She didn't know that her mother had lost her hair through some ailment or other. And so I think the mother had to go and get a wig so she didn't frighten the children. Well, I have to tell you that beautiful hair doesn't last always. Sometimes it turns gray. Sometimes it turns loose, just like it does for fellows. You understand that, don't you? And you understand that we can't always afford to wear gold, and we can't always afford to have nice clothes. But the focus of the godly woman is on what's on the inside. What is on the inside? And we see that here in our text, because when we read about the godly woman, we see this. We see that she understands the importance of her total testimony to others. It says that people may be won by the conversation of the wives while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So I tried to list the things that are involved in the conversation of the daughters of Sarah. And here's what I found. In verse number 2, it's called a chaste conversation. Do you see the word there, C-H-A-S-T-E? It's a word that means pure, unsullied. It doesn't have any spots or blemishes. That her testimony is a pure testimony. I would have to say, when I think back to Susan's mother and what a great influence she had on both of us and on all her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, did we ever figure out how many descendants Moselle has? I think about Mrs. Walmsley, Keith's mom. Keith, is it true that we figured out a while back that your mother had about 100 descendants? Fair go. It still goes on, doesn't it? And the influence of a godly mother on her descendants. And when we think about that, I think about Susan's mother and I think, I cannot remember ever hearing a word, even one word, that was out of line. I never saw an emotion that was wrong, an attitude. I never saw her misbehave. She never broke the law like all her sons-in-law and grandsons did, speeding. I never knew her to do anything that was out of line, and that's what's called here a chaste lifestyle, a pure lifestyle, conduct and behavior. And then it was with reverence. There was a spirit of respect. There is a spirit of respect in the godly mother. And it has to do with being reverent or respectful. In Ephesians chapter 5, there's a very interesting verse here when it talks about the wife's relationship with her husband. We never hear this verse preached on, but Ephesians 5 verse 33 says to the husbands, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Great respect for her husband. But then we also see in verse 4 in 1 Peter chapter 3, we also see here that she has an incorruptible. Let's see where the word is here. "Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible." Because all of the outward things, all of the dressing up, all of the plaiting of hair, all of the wearing of gold, all of those things perish. All of those things wear thin and they wear out and they get old and they lose their value. But the ornament of the heart, the inner man, maintains its value if it's patterned after godliness. In fact, this verse says here in verse 4, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit." This subject of meekness is something that's not touched on much in our time. The word meekness means to yield up our rights. Give up our rights. And I know that, you know, all the mothers that I know here this morning do that all the time. Giving up their rights to their children, yielding up their rights to their husband, yielding up their rights to their neighbor, yielding up their rights to people here in church and serving others. And that is part of the conversation, the lifestyle of the godly woman. Then it goes on to say that the godly woman has a quiet spirit. Has a quiet spirit. Keeping one's seat. I looked up the word quiet, and it means to keep one's seat. To be still. To be undisturbed. Not to be a busybody. And we've just been talking about this recently here in church. Not to be a manipulator, but to be a peaceable person. And then in verse 5, we see here that it says to us that these women, the godly mothers, are in subjection unto their own husbands. I read this and I think about this, how I suppose it would be possible. And it's a particular temptation oftentimes in the business world that a mother working outside the home may come under the temptation of being subject to someone else's husband. Well, this text says to their own husbands. We see possibly in our day, we see possibly more attacks being made against the relationship of husband and wife, father and mother. More attacks being made against God's design for the home than maybe there's ever been in history. But the Lord makes it so clear to us here that the example of the godly mother is that of having a meek and quiet spirit and being in subjection. You'll notice also here that the scripture says in verse number 5 that the holy women trusted in God. All mothers, let me encourage you to do more of what I expect you're already doing. That in the situation where your marriage relationship doesn't agree with everything you see around you, our little street and here in Melinda is just one block long. I've lost count of how many broken marriages have happened in our street in 15 years. How many families have split? How many people have left? How many homes are broken? How many mothers and fathers are no longer together just in our little street? But oh, I want to challenge you and say to you that God intends for us to trust in Him, to rest in the Lord, husbands as well as wives, and to be obedient to the Lord in building after God's pattern. But I need to tell you that there's a great contrast here. And the wise woman sees the contrast. The mother who has wisdom sees the contrast between all the flash and all the show. And And that contrast between that and what's on the inside. Let me talk. Can I talk to you very softly, very gently, and very lovingly? Mothers, have you ever thought about how much time you have to invest to look beautiful on the outside? Have you ever thought about how much time and energy and effort and thought you have to invest? Hours and hours and hours every week trying to look your best. And as I said to you before, we don't want you to look less. But have you considered how much emphasis there is on that which is external and temporary and corruptible and it's going away? Thought about how much time you spend on trying to look beautiful on the outside compared to how much time you spend adorning the inner man? Do you spend an equal amount of effort and thought and interest and time and expense on strengthening the spirit? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you read Christian books? Do you meditate on the Word of God? Do you dedicate your heart to building character on the inside? Because that's what endures and that's what wins others to Christ. It's not what's on the outside. I don't know if you've seen, do any of you see those televangelist shows that are on television where you have some televangelist that thinks he's the cat's whiskers and struts around the stage and spruiks and carries on and tells all sorts of tall tales? And often, off to the side, you'll see what looks like televangelist groupies. They're not always young ladies. Sometimes they're old ladies. Sometimes it's mutton dressed up like lamb. And they've got all the flash wigs, and they've got all the flash jewelry, and they've got all the flash cosmetics, and they've got all the flash clothes and everything like that. But what's on the inside? Is there anything on the inside? You say, well, I'm not there. That's not me. Well, thank you for not being that way. Glad we don't have a bunch of old ducks sitting over here. Excuse me. I'm glad we don't have... See, isn't it good that that section's empty today? I can talk about them all I want to. Isn't it good that we don't have a bunch of people sitting over there primping and trying to be beautiful on the outside when they're as empty as a dead man's grave on the inside? Because the emphasis here in Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3 is that godly mothers say, I'm not going to look cheap. I'm not going to look careless or indifferent or apathetic outwardly, but I'm going to focus on what's on the inside. I'm going to build character. I'm going to have a good conversation, a chaste conversation coupled with fear. I'm going to adorn the inner man. I'm going to build godly character. I'm going to be the kind of parent that my child will honor when they're old. In Proverbs 31, it says, it's a great passage on the virtuous woman. It says, her children honor her, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. I heard a man say one time, he said, I want to be the kind of father that when my name is mentioned, my kids stick out their chest instead of their tongue. Mothers, are you the kind of mother that when your name is mentioned, your son says, yes, that's my mother. I love my mother. Thank God for my mother. You wouldn't want them to stick out their tongue. The mother, the wise mother here. Oh, there's so much I'd like to talk to you about this. I'd love to talk to you this morning. Our time's almost gone. I'd love to talk to you this morning about Ruth. I'd like to talk to you about Esther. Such great examples. We've been talking about Sarah, but I don't want to talk to you about Jezebel, because in our world today there are not only daughters of Sarah, but there are daughters of Jezebel. If you want to read one of the saddest stories in the Bible, you read the story of Jezebel and her daughter Athaliah. Do you remember that Athaliah slew all her grandchildren except one who escaped because she wanted the throne? Do you remember reading that? What a sad world we live in today, that there are daughters of Jezebel as well as daughters of Sarah. Oh, mothers, set your heart to be a daughter of Sarah. Now, before we leave our text, let's be honest with the Word of God. Because it's not only the wives that are addressed here, but the husbands are addressed. Did you notice that? In verse 7, read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise ye husbands. Oh, the husbands are addressed. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them. Don't leave them. Dwell with them according to knowledge. A husband needs to study his wife. I've never earned a degree in any subject. You could tell, couldn't you? I've never earned a degree in any subject, but if I earned a degree, I would like to have a degree in wifeology. I would like to study my wife. I've only been studying her for about 55 years now, and I've almost finished kindergarten. So say all husbands. I've almost finished kindergarten. But it has been the most delightful study. She is a daughter of Sarah. And it is the greatest blessing to be married to Susan. I'm so thankful. He must not ignore or neglect his wife. His greatest duty of care, the husband's greatest duty of care, if he would have his wife, if he would have his children's mother to be a daughter of Sarah, he must be a son of Abraham. He must work on the inner man as she works on training and cultivating and building character within. So must he. We are to be their leaders. Scripture makes it so clear that the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife. Are they perfect? Wouldn't you like to be a perfect husband? When I was a little boy, I had some role models that I really looked up to. I found out as I got older that they all had feet of clay. All role models, all our role models have feet of clay. And now I have to be the role model. Do I have feet of clay? Come up after and I'll show you. All of us have feet of clay, don't we? But oh, husbands, what a responsibility we have to lead our families and to be the kind of husband. It also says here in verse number 7 that a husband must give honor unto his wife. Say, you husbands, how long is it since you said thank you to your wife? How long has it been since you told her how wonderful she is? Do you ever do that? If you haven't, shame on you. You should. You should tell her what a blessing she is. Do any of you husbands buy your wives gifts? You buy your wives gifts? You ought to take every opportunity. You tell her this week, this is the first Tuesday of the week, so I'm buying you a present. That's all you need. You don't have to have a special occasion, do you, James? There you go. Righto. I found a target. I never think about this without thinking of the evangelist Bill Rice, who was preaching, and he said he went to a church one time and the pastor said to him, "Oh, preacher, I'm going to show you. Look at this bass boat. Look at this fishing boat I bought, a new trailer, and look at this four-wheel drive, and look at my deer rifles here. Oh boy, I bought this and I bought this." And Bill Rice said to him, "You bought all that for yourself? What did you get your wife?" He said, "I bought her a new ironing board cover." Shame, shame, shame. When I read that, my heart was smitten deeply. We needed to replace our little blue car, so we got a little white car. And I told Susan, I said, "This is your Mother's Day present." So this morning I went out and put ribbons all over it. See? She knows I'm crazy about her. It's the way it ought to be. Giving honor unto the wife. Husbands, go buy her some presents on the way home from church. As unto the weaker vessel. Physically weaker, possibly emotionally, but not spiritually. As a delicate vase, knowing how important it is for the husband to provide and protect. And then at the end of the verse it says, that we should remember that we're heirs together. We've inherited the blessings of God, the grace of life. And remember that if our relationship in the home is marred, if it's fractured, we hinder our prayers. Do you pray for your children? Husbands? Mothers, do you pray for your children? Well, you need to have a good relationship between father and mother so that your prayers are not hindered. You need your prayers to be intact, the integrity of your prayers. And so we have here in the Word of God these words of counsel from the Spirit of God through the pen of Peter to us. Can I encourage you? You can respond two ways today, or three ways. You can say, I didn't listen, or you can say, I listened and it made me angry, or you can say, I listened and I want to find out more about this and go home and read your Bible. Can I encourage you to do that? Seriously, study the Word of God. God's ways and God's thoughts are so much higher than ours. And if yours don't agree with God, you can be sure they're not higher than God's, they're lower than God's. The best thing you or I can ever do is to think the thoughts of God after Him. Go read your Bible. See what it says. God's given us a pattern here for the kind of family that He designed, that He wants us to have. I trust this morning that you ladies that are the daughters of Sarah, take to heart this challenge from the Word of God. Where's your focus? Is it on the outward or on the inward? When we lose our children to the world, there's often a cause in the father and in the mother. Oh, how greatly we need to cultivate strength of character and godliness that we may save our children. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning, earnestly, that the seed of your word would fall into fertile soil in our hearts. We're dealing with eternal issues here, Lord. Those precious little children, those valuable, wonderful grandchildren will spend eternity somewhere. Oh, how we need you to make us strong in the inner man. Help us, Heavenly Father, husbands and wives both, fathers and mothers both, to have such godly character that our children are won to Christ. And if they stop their ears and will not hear our words, we pray that they will not close their eyes, be able to see what God is doing in our lives. Work, O Lord, in our hearts. Make us a godly generation in a wicked world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.